Film Vault.
Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to Film Vault. I'm Brian Bishop. That's Anderson. We're your hosts. Today's top five. Top five soundtracks.
Oh, subjective.
Subjective, but, well, how's it subjective?
Is it? I get those two words confused.
It's objective.
It's fuck
we're judging it on its own.
That?
Yeah, that's right.
USC.
Judging it on its own merits. It has nothing to do with how we interpret
it. Oh, it is. It's so personal. It's so personal.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
I'm apt to admit here and now, right at the top, that I'm embarrassed.
How so?
My first two really really exposed me for the borderline homosexual.
Oh, softy.
Yes.
I can't wait to get into these.
Mm-hmm.
Mine will reflect a passes through time.
Borderline.
Some time traveling.
What?
We're going to go back in time.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Are we going to be hearing about like Snuggies and Snuggle Bears and things from your childhood that used to like chipmunks going to be
but
involved?
No, we've done many more subjective lists than this. Like
objective.
Movies that scared you as a child. It's very subjective.
Wait, I said it was very subjective and you switched it to objective. I was too confused.
I didn't see what you meant at first.
Oh, I hate you so much.
But this,
really?
But I'm saying...
Did you correct me and I didn't need to be corrected?
No, but you did a little bit in saying that we've done lists that are far more subjective.
I was just saying this is very subjective. I think people tune into the show to hear about, to hear about movies that are, you know, maybe off the radar a little bit.
Oh.
Or to hear about some idea. You know, not many people talk about movies and the way we do, especially... And it's rare that people want to listen to what we like to rock out to.
Yeah.
Rare.
Speaking of which.
I apologize.
People are going to hear about a movie that I don't believe has ever come up on the show before, yet I've seen
Jeepers Creepers?
Dozen times.
Jeepers Creepers?
No, we're going to talk about it in context of the soundtrack. That's later. First.
Oh, can't wait.
Flick Fashion.
Flick Fashion.
Confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Three flicks each. Anderson, what have you seen?
Oh, I start.
Well, I can start if you want me to.
Go ahead, start.
Okay.
Take a nap in the beginning of the show.
How dare you? I should start because I saw three underwhelming flicks.
Right there with you, buddy. Way to tease to this opening segment of the show. Right there with you. Can't wait to talk about three films that I don't really care about on this program.
Yeah, I know. It's sad because I saw three movies that I had high hopes for.
It's summertime, that's why.
Three movies high hopes for. No, none of them new. Old. Three movies I had high hopes for but did not measure up.
Okay.
First of all, you assigned me Velvet Goldmine.
Oh, what? Now I'm offended.
Didn't love.
What?
Didn't love Velvet Goldmine. Liked. Good. It was good. It was fine. It was good. Enjoyed. Todd Haynes directed. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Ewan McGregor.
Do you know what you were looking
Christian
at?
Christian Bale and Tony Collette. I was looking at Ewan McGregor's penis for a second.
You were. You saw a few
penises. I was gazing, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
I was drinking
flopping.
It all in.
It was flippity-floppity.
Sucking it all. Drinking it all in.
You had to have very dart-worthy eyes to be able to keep up with its flippity-floppity.
Yeah, he moved around a lot.
A lot of flopping. Hey, do you know what you're looking at, though, as far as the movie? Like, it was Iggy Pop?
Yeah,
and...
that's the thing. Okay, I'm very glad you brought that up. Yes, because I knew just enough about that era of music to, like, recognize...
Appreciate
and recognize, like, oh, that's supposed to be David Bowie, and that's supposed to be Iggy Pop, and that's supposed to be Lou Reed, and that's supposed to be Tony Freeze, and that's supposed to be T-Rex, and all that stuff. And I enjoyed that, but it was just enough fiction to where it confused me. Like, wait, is he supposed to be... Because the Hugh McGregor character is both Lou Reed sometimes, and he's also...
He's a composite.
Yeah, he's a composite. So
Here's what Todd Haynes set out to do. I knew
a little too much about the music.
He wanted to do like almost a biopic of that entire... Because he loves that
music. I wish it had been.
And he couldn't get... Namely, from what I've read and what I've heard through the grapevine, namely it was David Bowie who was a bit of a prick, which I walked
in on.
That's
too bad because I would have loved to movie.
I walked in on David Bowie. Once I ever tell you about that?
Doing what?
He was sleeping.
With a guy?
And I walked into a room and I was rummaging through the trash, actually. And he woke up.
Looking for something to eat?
Can I help you? And I looked over, I'm like, fucking bizarre. David Bowie's asleep on the couch in this office of which the trash can I am rummaging through.
Man, it fell to earth.
Well, this girl that I used to work with, she had a trash bin back in the mid-90s where she would get tons of CDs sent to her every day. Like it was Christmas every single day. And she would throw away the most of them. So that's where I would get my music for a few years when I was poor.
Nice.
I just go through her trash.
Why not?
But I woke up David Bowie in doing so. But he would not, he did not sign off. So what Todd Haynes did, because he was so adamant about making this movie. If you remember, Todd Haynes, the guy also that did Superstar, the Karen Carpenter story. Very similar story there with her not signing off. Her estate, I should say, did not sign off on his Barbie doll biopic of her representing her life. So he's kind of got a history there of making movies about people that don't want movies made about them. And David Bowie did not sign off. And so he went and he created this whole alternate universe, which was paralleled in many ways.
It was interesting.
Which is very, I found that inspiring.
It was interesting. It was good. I wish it had been a biopic, but be that as it may.
Bay.
Michael Bay.
Anytime you get a chance.
There was something about gay puppets.
Use his name.
There was some gay puppets at one point. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot going on in that movie.
There was
very
a lot
layered.
It's very not layered. Boring. It's no. not boring. It was nominated for Best Costume Design Oscar.
Sandy Powell.
Yeah, it was very elaborate.
She did the costume. She's,
Sandy
Powell's
great. Overall, it was
one
pretty
best.
Good. I wish it had been a biopic.
I wish that
I
you had better taste
music.
So we could have a good
no,
conversation
I didn't
here
need
about
the
a great
fake
movie.
Music. I didn't need the made-up songs that didn't like feel like really good. They're like,
God, I want to stab you.
No, it was a pretty good movie. It wasn't great.
I want to shiv you.
Sadly, I saw another okay, not great. So, The Mist.
Baby's on fire. Wait, The Mist. Wait, The Mist? This is.
Did it make it even?
Are
made,
you going? Are you going to tell me Velvet Goldmine, and then you're following up with The Mist, and you opened with? I'm going to talk about three not very good movies.
No, I said underwhelming. It's not very good.
It's not.
The Mist is above average, but it either made your good movie bad ending or almost
most
awesome
devastating
movie,
ending
or bleakest ending.
Whatever.
Bleakest how many, ending.
Yeah.
You made the bleakest ending for you.
Sexiest, bleakest endings.
Yeah, okay, we did top five bleakest
Let's
endings.
Let's be careful not to talk exactly
no,
what happened.
No, I will not talk about anything because I didn't know anything going into it other than it was a Stephen King movie about a terrifying mist.
Now, that was not the original ending. Without talking about the ending, that was not the original ending.
Right.
I've talked about it on this show. But
Frank Darabont
came up with a short story, a Stephen King short story, and he
from
came
1980.
Up with a new
it's
alternate
a novella, Anderson.
Ending. Yes, a short story, novella. And Stephen King himself said, hey, if I thought of that ending, I would have definitely made that the ending of my novella.
Yeah.
And the studios hated his ending so much, they said, we will not give you $70 million unless you change the ending of this movie. And Frank Darabont said, fuck you. And he went to another studio and got half the budget
yep.
and made it with his bleak ending.
It's very funny. I didn't know the thing about half the budget. And you know what? It really shows because...
Fuck you. It wasn't that bad.
Mm,
cartoony creatures
yeah,
were
very,
fine.
Yeah, very cartoony.
I like them. I like them just fine.
Really?
Creatures are fine.
You know what? In this situation with the creatures and everything, the less you see, the better. Like, the most
no.
convincing creature was the one at the very end, the
well,
giant
okay, yeah, yeah, when you
creature.
Only see the feet, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's not.
Let's not what?
Let's not get too into
I'm not going to get into anything about
that you see, but there's some great-ass creatures.
No,
I like the sound. The sound was great.
They were okay
thumping
creatures.
on the big bay windows on the supermarket.
Yeah.
It was mainly it was more less about creatures and more about a study of humanity.
I like that part of it. I wish it had been more of that, a little de-emphasized the creatures.
Very Stephen King.
I would have loved if you never saw the creatures at all. The scene at the early in the film where the kid, the tentacles grab that one kid, mm-hmm. It's comical. It's absurd.
You know, a movie you would like a lot is Rosemary's Baby.
I do like Rosemary's Baby.
I know, because you don't see the creatures.
You never see
Seems
the creatures.
Seems like your type of movie. Yeah, Alien, the first one. Love that.
That's right.
See the Alien once.
Oh, I love Alien.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Prometheus coming up.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Prometheus.
By the way, that's one of my top five. My number one movie for the summer, I think. My number five movie, G.I. Joe. Pushed.
What?
Did you hear about this? Released delayed at the last second until March 2013.
Oh, really? Coming
yeah.
out next year now?
Yeah.
That
it was supposed to come out like in 2 weeks.
Sounds like they're reshooting the entire movie.
They said they're claiming it's so they can do it in 3D.
I saw a trailer for it today.
Looks great, right?
Looks so great.
I don't feel like you're being genuine.
Looks really, really good. Looks
like
you're
being genuine.
Looks like Scorpion King Part 4 in
anyway,
modern times.
The Mist.
Looks like.
Top five bleakest endings, for sure. I agree with that. And another movie I had high hopes for but didn't quite measure up was Revenge of the Electric Car from October 2011. Did you see this?
Yes.
Directed by Chris Payne, director of Who Killed the Electric Car. It was a sequel, I guess, sort of that documentary. There's another documentary narrated by Tim Robbins, premiered at Tribeca.
Who Killed the Electric Car.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Yes,
this is Revenge
of the Electric Car. I read a review on IMDb, and somebody said, this is the worst horror movie I've ever seen.
The movie is somewhat unfocused. It's all over the place. Kind of diffuses
a bit
the
rushed.
Focus. On,
a little
rush,
rushed.
A little bit. Little pick something. Pick a lane. No pun intended. Pick a lane. The best part, you wanted more of like Elon Musk and Tesla. That was a really compelling storyline. But then it touched on the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt and some dude who makes electric cars in his garage. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't add up. It was like, all right, that's interesting.
What was that
I
guy's
guess.
Name? Voltage or something? What was his name?
Crafty or...
No. What was it? God damn
Gadget. Gadget.
Gadget.
Gadget. Yeah.
Gadget sucked.
Gadget was lame.
I did not like Gadget.
His house burned down.
Gadget's name should have been Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, three underwhelming films.
No, three. All of those movies I would recommend.
Pretty good.
All
and
those movies
Velvet
are
Goldmine, if you love the era, I guess. But, God. Dude, I would rather have seen like a concert movie, like the actual music.
Okay, why don't you just go to a concert, Brian?
Okay.
I saw a movie. All right, here we go.
I saw a movie.
movie called Black Dynamite. Familiar with this movie, Brian?
No. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
Here's what I'm going to say about Black Dynamite. Came out a couple years ago, 2009, directed by Scott Sanders. Ever heard of him? No, neither have I. However, Scott Sanders did a great job of making Black Dynamite in the sense that he was doing a blaxploitation spoof movie in such a way that he actually remade. It's like exactly what the kind of TV and movies that I grew up on, so I recognized a lot of it. But it was all done for irony's sake, and this is not a movie made for me. A, I don't smoke weed. B, I'm not a big fan of the B movies with the, I mean, in this case, he purposely made terrible edits. And, you know, there were some jokes that I probably would have been laughing at if I was with friends and drunk or high, even though I don't smoke
weed. Sure, if you did.
But for what this movie was, for what it set out to do, it fucking hit a home run. It was perfect for what it set out to do.
Okay.
However, they don't set out to make movies like this for me ever because I don't like them. Okay. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So I can appreciate what it was.
You appreciate what it did, but you're like, this is for somebody else.
It's like pedophilia. You know what I mean? It's Ooh. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
But there's some great horse sex movies out there. But if you're into that, that's great for you.
Right.
But, you know, there's good ones and there's bad ones. But this was a great.
There's good ones?
Well, apparently, from what I hear. Then I saw a little movie that came out a week ago today, if you're listening to the podcast as it's released. And that is The Dictator.
Oh, yeah.
The Dictator. Have you seen The Dictator?
No, the Sacha
Apparently
Baron Cohen film.
Because you
no,
just
not,
did your profession and you...
That's right. I've not talked about it.
This is a movie I was worried about, concerned about. Didn't want to see necessarily, but I kind of felt like I had to see it. Okay. You know, it's one of those. You need to have an opinion. People are talking about it. Larry Charles directed it. Same guy that did Bruno and Borat. Two of the greatest movies. I still think that Bruno was underappreciated, namely because there was so much penis, and I think that people have a problem with staring at penis. I'm
it
one
is
of them.
A little underappreciated.
Don't like to stare at cock. I'll admit that. However, I could see past the cock and see the beauty of Bruno and what it was with the dangerous humor and the gorilla humor and the gorilla documentary
right.
Filmmaking nature. This is a completely different animal. This is a totally scripted
this is a
movie.
Film. Yeah.
Same director and Larry Charles, same writer and Sacha Baron Cohen. However, I had I was concerned going in. Just talking to Mike Catherwood last night, he was talking about how he's going to the shit taker, I think, or the shit taker. I think he had some clever
sure.
play on words.
The shit tater.
First 20 minutes was painful. Did not enjoy.
Oh.
I was very annoyed with anyone who even giggled around me.
Oh, no.
The only way that I could entertain myself was a man in front of me was buying his... First of all, I am so tired of fucking movie theaters making me buy my own ticket. And then making me pour my own goddamn Coke and put the lid on.
They do
and
that
get
now?
The straw. Yeah.
They just give you the drink and there's the fountain over there.
If you're doing that, if you're making me buy my own ticket, whoops, I bought a child, right? I didn't buy a child, but I bought a child's price, right? Works every time. Not a problem.
Okay.
This fucking theater that I went to today, guy was wearing a goddamn hat too. Like he was all dressed up like it was old 30s fucking movie song.
Nice.
He was wearing a little monkey hat. He had the monkey uniform on. And he's like, oh, looks like
an organ grinder?
Organ grinder monkey. You know what I'm talking about?
Was it the same theater just down the street?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I had the same exact problem at the theater down the street today.
The theater down the street, Logan, this is very inside, but that's so ghetto now, that theater, that they make you buy your tickets at the popcorn stand. So like, they sell your popcorn
that's
ghetto
around?
Times. That's ghetto times.
Yeah, I was there. I bought a ticket, the one down
the one that's in the parking lot where we used to work. The brand new one that's now old because
no
we're
shit.
Old. Yeah. That's like a shitty theater now. And it was brand new, like just the other
that's
day.
That's so funny because the
we
other one down
it.
The street does the
that
same thing.
That one's closed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All their ticket machines, like you have to, like you know, it's a touchscreen ticket.
Those are all broken.
Those are all broken. Now you buy your tickets.
Really?
And the ticket counter.
That was a state of the art theater as of like a year ago.
Now it's shit. Wow. Ticket counter inside. It's because the surrounding neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Surrounding neighborhoods kind of tore that shit apart.
It's already been gentrified. This shit, people.
Ticket counter inside closed. So you actually have to go up and talk to the Neanderthal that works behind. She really is that woman, the lady that works there. My God. She's like Cro-Magnus era. But she'll sell you a popcorn and a ticket for the movie. So it's kind of hard to pull that scam with her, Logan.
I wasn't going to buy a soda, and I had to buy a ticket, and I ended up buying
child?
A soda.
Do you say I'm a child? I would like a child
yeah,
ticket.
Yeah, you get $5 off.
Wow.
But you can't do that if you're buying it right in front of her. I'm saying if I'm at the kiosk.
How do you get around the ticket?
You know, it's funny.
People.
I never thought of doing that.
Here's what I'm saying. The ticket terror people don't give a fuck.
Really?
Until today, until Monkey Grinder Boy looked at me and goes, oh, sir, it looks like by mistake you bought a child's ticket. It was a dollar difference.
Wow.
A dollar. So he's like, just go down there and, you know, she'll take care of it. Down there is like 100 yards behind me, and I have to wait in line. To all because I was trying to get a dollar over.
Wow.
These cunts. So, excuse my language. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Anyways. So I was in a terrible mood. But the guy in front of me was trying to get a, plus they make you pick your goddamn seat, which I hate. But the guy in front of me
I like that.
I hate it.
Okay.
for the exact reason that happened today. I pick my seat. No one's sitting around me. I sit down. Somebody comes in and buys a seat after I do and decides to sidle up right next to me. They can't see that that seat's taken on the screen. So now, and she has to, because she's mentally challenged, she has to sit right next to me and eat her popcorn loudly. Anyways, the guy in front of me with his mom who's in a wheelchair.
Right.
He was having an argument with a lady about where the wheelchair seats are. And so the first 20 minutes of the movie I did not enjoy. So I pleased myself by looking back and watching the old woman's reaction to some of the, you know, heinous jokes and things.
Sure.
First of all, it opens up with a still of Kim Jong-il. And it says, in loving memory of Kim Jong-il. Good gag to begin with. Good gag. But in the first 20 minutes, okay, Logan, you saw this.
Yeah, I was really annoyed like you in the first 20 minutes of all the stupid jokes. And
once he goes to New York, I got it. I was in. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I mean, it went too far sometimes, and it was a little bit raunchy for the wrong reasons. But for every time there was something like that, there was something very, very funny that happened. And I was laughing out loud quite a bit.
To its credit, it does jump to that really quickly. It gets past all the bad jokes really
quickly. The setup
of
his character was very cartoony, very SNL.
Right.
Like, all the layups and the, oh, look, he's shooting. He's having his own Olympics and stupid stuff. But then once he starts working with Ferris, whatever her fucking name is.
Anna Ferris.
Anna Ferris at the co-op for the Lesbians Unite or whatever. It was fucking good stuff.
Okay. And I'm in. I want to see this.
The lesbian bathroom.
And then it kind of fell off at the end, too. At the end, it fell off a little bit. But I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm in. I will see this film.
You should see it. It's the kind of movie, if it comes on HBO, I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
The third movie was a movie that you mandated that I watch, Brian. I'm not going to go on and on about it because it's embarrassing.
What was the first
I've not
movie?
Seen it. Black Dynamite.
Oh, Black Dynamite. That's
keep
right.
Keep up here, Brian. Come on.
Born
Identity. Liked it very much.
Yeah.
Can't wait to watch the other ones. Let's go.
That's it? No. There's some awesome ass kicking in that film.
All right. Strike one.
See what I'm saying?
Pop
about
in the DVD.
Yeah.
And it says, what would you like to watch? The alternate beginning and ending? Or would you like to watch the theatrical ending and beginning? Or would you. Don't give me choices of storylines. Just fucking show me the movie. Show me the fucking movie.
Show me the Carfax.
So I watched the movie in its entirety, and I had to go theatrical because I didn't have time to watch the extended version. But then I watched it afterwards, and it was gay. The extended version and what his other alternate version was stupid. It's just much more exposition, much more explaining.
Instead of shooting Clive Owen, he made out with him?
Stop it.
Sorry.
But, yes, it was a very good spy action thriller. I understand.
The bar has been raised.
I don't know if the bar has been raised, but Franco Portente... looked more like a man
Lola.
As the movie went on.
Lola.
Looked more and more like a man as the movie
went
on.
She's masculine.
And it was weird that Matt Damon became more attracted to her as she became looking more and more like a man as the movie went on. But great car chase scenes.
Yep.
And I feel like I've seen all before, but not
driving around the little minis right over there.
Felt a lot like the Italian Job and Ronin, both of those movies.
Yep.
But yeah, as I said, for what it was great. Can't wait to not talk about this movie anymore because it's 15 years old and everyone's seen it but me. 2002? Wait, I thought it was 90. Okay.
No, it's this decade. Or, this, you know, within 10 years.
10 years ago. Jesus Christ. My car was older. It's younger than this fucking movie.
Good Lord.
Yeah. All right.
All the kids in coming up next. Tokyo. Top 5 soundtracks. Don't really listen to some tunes, kids. When we talk about the top 5 soundtracks.
Oh, yeah, we get to play them, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it's enjoyable when we play music that I like, because I really enjoy it. Great.
Next.
You should listen to Raver's Delight after Zatcher.
I will not.
Until we hit the bottom, feet first. Until we reach no later, feet first.
Someone's making beer, Anderson. Someone, yeah, through our Amazon.com banner, which we feature the interesting purchases of the week.
Moonshine on Amazon?
No, they can't buy it, but they're making like beer making material. Someone bought some pale ale mix, and someone bought a whole like bunch of. Oxygen absorbing bottle caps, 144 of them. Someone's going to make some beer.
Or bombs.
Send it. Well, probably beer, but it bombs. If it's beer, send it to us. If it's bombs, please don't.
You don't have to send us the beer. Thanks for clicking through, though.
Absolutely. Someone bought a Kindle. Someone got, Anderson, I assume you know what this is, a Real Skin All-American Whopper Super Flexible Dong.
Yeah, I know that.
6.5 inch. Well, at least it's realistic.
I was going to say something really stupid.
Someone got a very high-end TV, a Toshiba 55-incher, so thank you very much for clicking through on that.
I got the 56.
We appreciate it. Someone got a Cisco IP phone. Someone got a 1 terabyte external hard drive.
I got
very
2
cool.
terabytes.
A couple of cameras, a couple of SLR cameras, a PowerShot camera in there too, some binoculars.
I got the PowerFullShot.
Someone bought a copy of Exploiting My Baby by Teresa Strasser and a copy of Slaughterhouse-Five, which is a fantastic book. Anderson and I are both fans.
The movie's not that great, but not terrible, but the book is awesome.
The movie needs to be remade.
It does.
Someone got a in-window mounted air conditioner. That makes sense. It's summertime. Got to cool down.
Just don't let that fall out and hit the pool, man.
No, don't let that happen. Cool Hand Luke poster. It's very cool for Cool Hand Luke. Someone got a desk on Amazon. And somebody
got its butt up desk, Madman style. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone bought two.
You don't care.
Someone tweeted me about this, actually. Bought two kayak racks for their truck. So that's very cool. So
ironically,
enjoy,
they don't have kayaks.
Enjoy kayaking. Well, yeah. Enjoy kayaking when you get your kayaks.
I almost bought a kayak once.
Yeah, someone
really was happy I didn't. You know why?
What's that? Because buy racks.
I went out instead. The girl went out and got me like 3 hours of free kayak use at the local rental place. I used 1 hour. Thank God I don't own a kayak. Hey, here are the movies people. Anchorman. The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Hey, in retrospect, I like it now. And you know what? The sequel's looking pretty fun. I saw a trailer just today for it.
Nice.
Catching Hell. Great movie.
A great movie.
What's the name of that kid?
That's the Steve Bartman documentary.
Steve Bartman. Catching
it's a fantastic ESPN documentary.
Chronicle. Fuck yeah. Brian, have you seen this yet?
No, I have it on my queue. It's coming out June 12th.
I can't wait
like
for
that.
You to be underwhelmed and upset me when you talk about it. City of God. Great fucking movie. Election. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
No Country for Old Men. Flip. Terminator 2. Hell yeah. The Fifth Element. Fuck yes. The Great Escape. I want all these movies. Every single one of these movies.
Send
just
them
now,
to me.
Except for Anchorman, I want The Thing. Good God. One of the worst movie going experiences of all time. And Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, fuck some yes. Great movies. Thank
really
you guys
good.
For clicking
wait,
through.
Wait, hold on.
What's up?
Why did you buy Van Helsing? Why would someone buy Van Helsing? And why is there a widescreen edition of Van Helsing?
Whether or not why they would is not an issue. The fact that they click through the Amazon.com
it's like having
banner.
HD of Amy Rooney. Why does that exist?
We appreciate all the support, whether it's Van Helsing or a good movie. We appreciate
ooh, Rabbit
it.
Hole. You know who made Rabbit Hole?
Who?
Somebody bought Rabbit Hole. That's James Cameron Mitchell.
How about that?
The guy that made Hedwig and Angry Inch, which has not come up yet.
Which apparently I'll be seeing in a
make
week.
Make sure that you play. Oh, fuck. There's no. It's too late.
Oh, cut that out.
God damn it. In Badlands. Amazing. Don't give me that look, Brian. This is worth going back and saying because Badlands is a great fucking movie, which you've never seen, so you should be excommunicated from the studio.
Thank you for all the support, whether you bought Van Helsing or something good. We appreciate it.
The Little Mermaid, two discs. I wonder right. if they got the penises on the cover.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. Thank you very much for your support.
Sure.
Click through if you buy anything from Amazon on our website, andersonandbrian.com. We appreciate it.
It's Edward James Olmos. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com.
Thank you for tuning in The Film Vault. Thank you, Ramona from Toronto, Canada. Hey, Imports album, Mornington Crescent now open. It's out now. Check them out, Ramona. They're on PacificaRidgeRecords.com. Thanks, Ramona, being our feature artist of the week. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go for information on them and all of our feature artists from the past and information on how to become a feature artist in the future. I want to hear yourself on this podcast.
You'd love to hear yourself on this podcast.
I do. Top 5 soundtracks, apropos to music and artists and featured things. How's that?
Let's get on with this subjective episode.
It's both subjective and objective. We've done much more subjective in the past. Much more.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Top 5 movies that made you cry.
Just saddest movies.
Top 5 movies that scared you as a child.
That's very subjective.
Very subjective. Yeah. Top 5 worst movie-going experiences.
Oh, that's exceptionally subjective. Okay. Point taken.
Point taken. Mm-hmm. Top 5 soundtracks. I'd actually argue that it tends more towards objective.
All right.
A lot of research done out there. A lot of research. I will start off. Mm-hmm. This is a movie that has not been mentioned on this podcast, I do not believe. I don't know if it's ever come up. But I've seen this movie 10 or 12 times. Very influential on a young bald Brian, when he was just young balding Brian. Came out when I was in high school, 1994. And I must have seen Backbeat 10 or 12 times because I was just getting into the Beatles. I was a huge Beatles fan. And this movie came out and sort of married what was going on at the time with... go ahead. Married what was going... yeah, playing... yeah.
What?
No, that's number... oh, Logan.
All right, well, if you're going to send me things...
tell him, Logan.
What? What did I do wrong? Tell me what I did wrong.
Everything.
Oh, no, you're right.
Tell me what I did wrong.
Took a breath when you were born. It's where it all began.
Sort of, pick it up.
Again, breathing. He's legitimately mad right now. Legitimately angry with Logan. I'm sorry, Logan. I'll protect you.
Hear that?
Uh-huh. Is that angry music?
That's angry music. Apropos. It's yeah. It's an album. Oh, so...
This is not the Beatles.
Do you want to just do a clean pickup?
This is a black person. No. This is the best part of the show we've ever had.
I can't recover from this.
You can.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, who is this? Is this Little Richie? What's going on? What is this?
Did you see Backbeat?
No.
You really didn't see it?
I don't watch movies about music.
You didn't see Backbeat?
No, I didn't see Backbeat. Isn't Oasis involved somehow?
No, it's a movie about the Beatles when they started off at Hamburg in 1960 or 1960 or something like that, or 62, before they got famous. So it's like their early days and they were just a cover band. They didn't write any original material. Mm-hmm. So the soundtrack and the music in the movie is all of those cover songs like this, 20 Flight Rock and like Long Tall Sally and Good Golly Miss Molly, all the songs he used to play, Twist and Shout by the Isley Brothers, but they're covered by a super band, the Backstreet Band, which was a band made up of, at the time, the hottest musicians in alternative
the
rock.
The Monkees?
No, it was, Greg Dooley from the Afghan Whigs. It was Dave Perner from Soul Asylum. They were the vocalists. Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth.
I'm trying to follow you, but I'm not. This is a movie about the Beatles before they were the Beatles when they were a cover band.
Fuck a duck.
And, okay, now the actual music that you hear in the movie is all by the super band that does cover tunes.
Yes.
They put a band together
made up of the hottest, like the most talented, like alternative acts of the day. Like mm-hmm. Dave Grohl played drums
right.
and Mike Mills played bass.
Superman, all these music lovers.
Yes, and they put in Dave Perner from Soul Asylum. They put them all together to form a band mm-hmm. to cover all these songs and do the music for the movie. Mm-hmm. So all the songs in the film
are these
great like rock and roll songs of the era.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
I guess
it's just Dave Perner doing like, Long Tall Sally, and it's fantastic.
It's not Long Tall Sally, but okay.
It was Good God, Miss Molly.
So. Okay.
No, cool. This is Long Tall Sally.
So,
how dare you?
This is not Long Tall Sally. Nah, I still don't believe it. Good editing there, though, Logan.
That's good.
I thought Long Tall Sally.
That's Mustang Sally.
You know what I should also point out? I know very little about
Wilson
music.
Pickett.
I know very little about
music. Oh, man. By the way, Wilson Pickett may come up again in the future.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, how dare you?
I don't know about music. Oh. I don't know things about music. All I know is that the white man stole all the good music from the black man in the 50s, and I should be offended.
The entire album, Anderson, the Backbeat soundtrack, clocks in at just 27 minutes. These songs are all like 2 minutes long. And won a BAFTA award for best film music. It's a fantastic soundtrack. It was one of the first ones I ever bought on CD. And I love this movie. Saw it 10 or 12 times, probably between theater and home video. And very influential.
Do you own the soundtrack?
Currently. Yes, okay. Of course.
Well, what do you mean currently?
I don't know what you
mean. You
own
the soundtrack?
Yes, I don't know what you're getting at. Yes, I do.
What are you getting at? Do I own that?
Sorry, I own all these soundtracks.
Okay, good. All five. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple almost made my list. I'm like, hey, Anderson, you can't put them on your list if you don't own the soundtrack, you idiot. And then I slap myself.
Anyway, right. Backbeat, number five.
Number five for me. Now, this soundtrack was somewhat marred for me. First of all, it's kind of recent. Try to step off of the recent ones, but three almost made my list. They're all from like the last 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But this one was somewhat marred when I was listening to it up in the hills on my way to camp when I killed the deer. It's not funny.
Wait, is this a soundtrack or is this like score?
This is score.
Oh, man, I was hoping to save score for the future.
Well, you know what? We should. It is on the soundtrack. It is the soundtrack that I bought. It's Hans Zimmer, and it's The Dark Knight.
Okay, all right.
Which kind of changed. Like, I was just watching Deadliest Catch. Great, phenomenal, fantastic show on Discovery. Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say Deadliest Catch. They're using a Hans Zimmer type of soundtrack for that show now. Like, he kind of changed the landscape of how movies are scored. You know, every now and again, like a new composition will come out for a big movie.
Right.
And it will kind of change whatever follows it. And now anything that's like done the way before, it sounds like it's older. It sounds aged. You know what I mean? And Hans Zimmer, who's been doing this forever, made something that I never heard before with The Dark Knight. And just seeing that in the theater and you're feeling it in your chest, and it went so well with the scenes. However, I was listening to it. It's very stressful music.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it when I was driving the mountainous roads, feeling the stress and the urgency of the soundtrack as I went around one turn, then the next, and then the deer. And kind of marred it.
I don't think this is what most people think when they think soundtracks. This is more score, but you love the soundtrack, so there you go.
Well, we should have, defined it a little bit better. All I got in an email was soundtrack, and this is definitely a
you're
soundtrack.
You're right, we definitely should have had another conversation about this. But you're right, we can do top five scores in the future, and I'm sure you know five more.
Number five on that will be Dark Knight. I did nothing with scores.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding. James Horner. Little Philip Glass coming up next.
That's fantastic.
No, that's not true. Dark Knight. Let me see. Yeah, that's the... No, there's one more score.
Okay.
Whatever.
This is great.
That's not great.
The episode's off to a swimming start.
Well, you know what? It's a fucking soundtrack. It's on the soundtrack. You get the Dark Knight soundtrack?
You're right.
What would you have preferred to call the episode to make it more clear?
We should have definitely now.
To your co-host over here.
There's nothing we could have done to the episode to make it more clear. You and I should have had a conversation to make
it
more
clear. Yeah, but that involves us talking.
I know, which we don't do. Yeah. Number
so stupid. Go.
Number four for me.
Let's make this the shortest episode ever. Let's try and do that.
No, we got We got some good music
Good point. One song, the last song I'm going to do, we're going to have to listen to the whole goddamn thing.
Wow.
We're going to have to.
Number four
and
for me.
Talk,
and by the way, like I said, we're taking a trip through time. 1994 from number five, Backbeat. That's my most recent one. All these, they're going back in time each year successively.
Wow.
So this one's from 1983.
If you go to like some silent fucking movie from the 20s, I will walk.
1983, The Big Chill, written and direct. That's number two. That's... Oh, did I say three? I said four. 1984. Number four. I don't know. What to
Can I just say this is my favorite episode?
I don't know.
This is your number four.
It's my favorite episode we've ever done.
According to your email, this is your number four.
Oh, this one is my fault because I forgot to switch them at the last minute.
Oh, no. Now your time continuum is going to be all fucked up. My timeline. Where am I? I don't know. Am I in the future or in the past? Where are we, Brian? Help us navigate.
This is far and away our worst episode.
What year are we in now?
This is the lesson. The lesson to take away from this, Anderson, no.
We should talk more.
No, yeah, we should absolutely talk more. Yeah. Nothing. We should never try to pull anything off technically. We should never try to pull off anything. Logan's trying to total up the listener things. He's like making hash marks over there.
Everything's
like the listener
fine,
top five.
Brian. Everything's fine. No, I'm hearing some good trumpets in the background. It feels like we're in the 50s.
This is the Blues Brothers.
Oh, no. This is your number three. You're going to have to go out of order. What can you do? Not a lot. There's really nothing you can do now.
And
short of us stopping.
This is fantastic because I've actually spoiled my number one and my number three. Well, technically,
why does this delight me so much? I am genuinely pleased by this. This is really enjoyable to watch you self-destruct.
Wait, self-destruct?
You're self-destructing. You're trying to pass the buck onto a Logan, but you self-admittedly said that you switched your order and you came up with your little time
frame. I messed up that one, but Logan spoiled the first one.
Don't worry, we got some great tunes coming up.
You've heard most of them already.
You got like the real like, hey man, I'm in a frat. Let's go to the bar and drink some shakes and maybe some beer later.
Shakes?
Yeah.
To drink shakes at a bar.
That's 50s music.
Oh, okay, like malt.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
You wear your Letterman's jacket that you didn't know.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Borrow your big brother's Letterman jacket, cruise around trying to pass it off as your own.
I had such high hopes for this episode.
What is the serious problem? Honestly, just and we're doing your number three right now?
They're out of order. I've already spoiled two of my...
He's genuinely upset. Look at him. All right, here. Anderson the Risk. There's a movie. are we gonna fade out there?
I didn't actually speak about the Blues Brothers at all, but
go ahead. Let's talk about the Blues Brothers some more because I've only done it on half of our episodes.
That's a good point. You know what? I'm replacing with the Muppets. Last minute change. That's all I have to say.
Ron Howard's the director.
God damn, the Blues Brothers are so fucking good. I wanted to talk about it too.
He's also Opie. He was also in Happy Days. He's also directed a number of films, one of which is Ransom. Little known fact about Ransom, Brian. That's Nick Nolte's true life son. Even though Nick Nolte was not in the movie.
Oh.
The kidnapped son of the racist, anti-Semitic man in Mel Gibson. He had a kidnapped son in the movie. The whole point is he's a rich man. His kid gets kidnapped by like Lily Taylor and some other awesome. Donnie Wahlberg is one of the kidnappers.
Right.
And they put the kid. The movie's... it's okay.
Yeah, it's
not a great movie by any far stretch of the imagination. However, they keep the kid locked up on Robitussin, which sounds like a pretty good time to me.
Sure.
And they have him locked in on a
Could
chamber.
Be worse.
Other than the chain to the bed,
Could
which
be
I won't really
worse,
dig,
the
but
way.
They have him in a dark room with like a ghetto blaster in there playing this. Turn it up a little bit, Logie. That's a crunchy groove right there. I believe the name of this song is Rats.
Sounds upsetting.
Might be Rats Part 2. There's Rats 1 and Rats 2.
Yeah. It's like a whole Pink Floyd thing. There's movements.
This is part two.
Part two? This is Rats Part Two? Good song. By Billy Corgan. Not a giant Smashing Pumpkins fan. I mean, I like him as much as the next guy. They got some great tunes out there. But when I saw this movie and they went in to feed him Robitussin, Nick Nolte's real life son, Mel Gibson's fake son in Ransom.
Sure.
And he was chained, and it was like they had, I think they had strobing lights, and it was supposed to be all like unsettling. I heard this wonderful sound, and I said, "What the fuck is that music? Must find." I could not wait for the movie to end so I could get to the end of the credits so I could find out who it was, what it was. Went to the I think I went to Tower Records. This is 1996. Got the soundtrack immediately in my car. Fast forward through the first seven because it's all James Horner's fucking his score. Straight to the Billy Corgan, awesome music. And this is it. I mean, it's much again like animal porn. Not for everybody.
You know what this really says to me about the whole kidnapping thing with the robots? Well, the robots actually understand.
I would love to have been Nick Nolte's son in this.
Needlessly elaborate. Why with the music?
To disorient him.
You just keep him in a dark room. Give him a robot test. That's pretty disorienting.
Mm. Yeah, but they didn't want him hearing their little ransom plan.
Oh, that only makes good sense.
I spent a number of years, I know this is going to be shocking to any of you who don't know this, number of years frequenting the junior college system we have out here.
Sure.
About 7 years, because I broke my back and I was in and out of the hospital for a while. So I had some time off, but easy pickings over there at the junior college. That was one of the main motivations, Brian.
Hot sluts.
Attractive girls, not too bright, yep. Self-esteem down. So I'll never forget, I was driving around listening to the soundtrack very loud in my car, and some guy was actually running behind my car. I was in the parking lot looking for a space. Running behind my car, I had the kind of car where he slammed the back of it, and I didn't care because it was a beater.
Sure.
And I'm like, "Oh, what's up, man?" He's like, "What is that music?" I'm like, "I felt the same way. I'll tell you all about it." And I told him, and he was very, very happy. If you like that kind of music, it's a sweet spot.
Then
for
he
you,
said, man. "What happened to your back?"
No, it was right before I broke my back.
Oh, okay.
Let's not make fun.
Sorry.
My back.
I thought I was going to say he was enthusiastic.
Good tunes there. Check out the Billy Corgan list of music that he made specifically for Ransom. I mean, he made all those songs for that movie.
Number three, I don't care. Just play something.
I believe there's six. You can play Rats Part One if you like. It's pretty good.
Don't play that.
You should play that in place of Brian's.
Oh, this is sweet. This is the big chill.
This is every movie.
What do you mean?
This song is in like
nine harems in every movie?
Nine dozen movies. A lot of movies.
All right. The Big Chill from 1983, written and directed by Lawrence Kasdan. Maybe it's number four, maybe it's number three on my list. I don't even know.
What are the people going to do?
It's about a bunch of friends from the University of Michigan in the 60s, reuniting at a friend's funeral in the 80s. And it was a perfect soundtrack that captured sort of a perfect time and place where there's nostalgia for Motown, but it wasn't quite crested yet because Michael Jackson's Thriller was just becoming a thing. It was just released, and like the whole thing was cresting, and Motown hadn't been tapped yet. It was still sort of like, you know, old
Motown?
And yeah, Motown.
Really?
The nostalgia for Motown hadn't been tapped yet.
I was going to say.
But it was definitely out there.
This is out of nostalgia, I get that.
But yeah, and the whole top to bottom, every track is great. It's obviously a sort of a greatest hits compilation from the Motown days, and it has great songs like this, and go ahead and play the other one if you have a chance.
Doubling up on Logan?
Well, there's a number of great
songs.
Logan,
you're earning your 13% this week.
Yeah.
Really earning it.
Clicking away. Clicking away.
What's going on?
There's a whole bunch of great songs.
Dead time.
Ah.
You know what this feels like, Brian? I feel like you can get this exact CD, not necessarily the soundtrack to Big Chill, but a tape, maybe a cassette tape, with most of the tracks on that cassette tape, most gas stations.
Yeah, a late night television.
Yeah.
Songs you remember from your teen years. It's a guy and a girl who would normally have nothing to do with each other, and they pretend like they're famous, like, "I remember you from this thing, blah, blah, blah." She's are good times.
When you hear
these
songs,
of good times.
Do you think of, like, certain scenes in this movie, and does it, like, bring you back?
No, not at all. I just love the songs.
What? So this really, it has nothing to do with, you could just look at random movies you've never even heard of and just look at the back of the CDs and go, "Oh yeah, those are really good. That's a good compilation. I picked that as my favorite soundtrack."
Well, obviously this has something to do with the film. I mean, it's the nostalgia of the day, and it's sort of friends coming together and reuniting after a long absence. But it's not so much about the scenes or anything like that. It's just about the feeling the songs evoke.
This could be This Boy's Life. It could be Stand By Me.
Could be, but it's not.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. Number three for you. I don't even know where
subjective.
You are.
Subjective. Right, you've done one. You've done five.
Done like seven.
Four,
I've done
three,
like seven.
And one.
I've done like seven.
You've done five, four, three, and one. I should also point out, I have a very different list. My list. Couple are scores. One is Ransom, which is not really a score. It's just, it is his own thing.
Score.
Like what Billy Corgan right there. Maybe. And then my first two are just the closest things to show tunes you can imagine. Really, really showing my rainbow card.
Range.
My rainbow card.
Rainbow range.
Number three for me. There's a movie that I hate to say that doesn't hold up. I've talked about it on this year program. I do have a framed poster of it in my office still because I do love that movie. It brought me to tears. The opening sequence with this music, go ahead and play it, Logie, brought me to tears because it was like the closest to perfection I had ever seen in cinema to that point. For me, cinematically.
Wait, what did the opening?
Run Lola Run.
Oh.
And the soundtrack really enhanced the entire movie for what it did. It really went well with the movie, picked up the pace, continued the storyline forward, the edits. It was like made almost like the filmmaker made the music himself. And guess what? Tom Tykwer did make the music. The director of this fucking movie.
That happens so rarely.
Very rarely. Made the soundtrack, the score as well. And now, you know, it's a different time. This is 1997, I believe. But the music doesn't... When I saw the movie, one of the things that seemed most dated about it was the music, I think. That being said, you listen to it
independently. When was the last time I saw it?
Like a year ago, year and a half ago. That being said, listening to it independently, I could still drive very fast in my car and enjoy this.
When's this from, like 99?
I want to say 97.
97?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I want to say 97, brah. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Please do.
Franca Portente,
also
I talked about.
Born.
Now, this is a director who I quickly fell out of love with, Tom Tykwer. Went and saw like two or three of the movies that he made after Run Lola Run. 1998, Run Lola Run.
There you go. Split the difference.
His movies don't, none of them come close to what Run Lola Run was. So, but if you have not seen Run Lola Run yet, that's Franca Portente singing, too.
Really?
I believe she does sing one of the songs.
No kidding.
Don't quote me. Don't quote. But, yeah, the director, Tom Tykwer, I thought this is the new guy. This is the guy because you see Run Lola Run. It's such his own thing. I thought this is my new obsessive. I'm going to be obsessed with this director. I went and saw The Princess and the Warrior. Maybe the dullest film I've ever seen. Maybe the most boring movie I've ever seen. And he has a very Run Lola Run-like scene in Paris, J'ai aimé. Have you ever seen that?
Nope.
It's a collection of shorts by various directors.
Is it subtitled?
His is good. You know what? The beginning of Born Identity is subtitled. What do you do with that?
There's ass kicking though, so I can look past that. I'm not happy about it.
A lot of the James Bond movies too. They open up like in a foreign land or something, yep. And I feel for you whenever I see that.
I know.
It's like Brian,
it's a tough hurdle
so
to get over. It's a tough hurdle to get over.
Brian hates subtitles. For those of you who don't listen to this program,
I prefer dubbing.
But anyways, this is I'll get to some other movies soundtracks that. I think really make a good movie great. I really do think we were taught in film school that soundtracks can never make a good movie great, and I couldn't disagree more. There's a lot of movies out
who
there
said
that are some hack teacher professor.
That's not right at all.
No, I know.
That's like the teachers tell you like, don't ever use voiceover. Voiceover is for hacks.
Here's my favorite: is writing teachers always say this, like every single line in every single script should have one purpose, and that is to move the story forward. And I love
that's.
Going off track and going off topic just for the point of it, just because that character would do that. Doesn't have to move the storyline along necessarily.
Absurd.
It's great, too, and it's nice, and it fits perfect, and every now and again there's a perfect movie where every single line does that. It's rare.
Yep. I would argue that a perfect movie doesn't do that because you have to let the characters develop and grow and say things they would say.
I'm pretty sure, though, if you were to watch something like Silence of the Lambs and really dissect it, like every single line does help propel that movie forward.
No. What about when he says to the senator, he says, nice suit.
It developed his character. It got his character. Now you know that he's gay.
No, it's just a funny line.
Now you know he's gay.
Just a funny line.
No. Love the suit.
Love the suit.
Yeah, you got the line wrong.
Yeah, I messed it up.
You're having a tough episode, buddy.
Coming up next.
Brian's number 2 and 4.
Which you already know, probably. Yeah, my number 7 and number 1.5 coming up next.
Not your fault, Logie. I see you worried in there. Back and walk away. I don't believe it when you say that nothing's changed, but who am I to say? Hey, struggling musicians, smoking your mom's weed because you can't afford your own.
We know that's a fair percentage of you.
Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. You want a little exposure? You want to help us out? You want to kill a couple birds?
Yeah, you want to hear yourself on the Film Vault? We'd love to hear you on the Film Vault, too. Mm-hmm. Send in the information to andersonandbrian.com. There's a little link right there for feature artist submissions. We need feature artists. We love them. We put them on every week. I like to have some upbeat tunes as we come into the episode so I can
it can
scream,
be downtrodden. It doesn't have to be upbeat.
No, I like screaming, Film Vault. I like something to pump me up.
Uh-huh.
So send in your submissions. Right. We would love to feature your music, andersonandbrian.com.
And if Brian was the one listening to it, I would suggest that you sound more like the 50s or the 60s.
That's
but
right.
Honestly, Brian doesn't listen to shit unless it's on the show. So it's all Logan. So make sure that it sounds upbeat and fabulous.
Yeah, welcome back. backs. Thanks, Ramona. I like these guys, actually. These guys are really good. Ramona from PacificRidgeRecords.com. Check them out. Album, Mornington Crescent, now open. It's out now, and they're from Canada. Don't hold that against them. Good guys.
Hey.
Ramona.
I'm offended by that.
Just messing around.
Brian, I got to apologize to you, Logan, the listeners. I've decided numerous occasions over the last few weeks, ever since this Born thing came into my sights, because I've been embarrassed to admit that I'm like one of the 1% not to have seen any of them. I kept saying that Tom Tykwer, the director of Run Lola Run, was responsible for one of the sequels, and couldn't be farther from the truth. I don't know where the fuck I got that.
Not true. Didn't Paul Greengrass direct both of them?
Tony Gilroy directed the new one. I don't know, but I'm sure that many of you have hit me on Twitter and Facebook saying, no, Anderson, didn't direct him. But guess what? Untouchable, because I don't read that shit. Don't read it.
I still tweet you from time to time. You know, you don't check it?
I hope that other people enjoy reading that, because I don't.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Number two for me.
Untouchable. Get to me, bitch.
From 1973, although it was set in 1962, American Graffiti.
Hey.
Another
gas station favorite.
No, this is a double album. Yeah. And this is, talk about evoking a time and a place.
Do you ever just go to like the 50s cafe and say, they really got all my favorite soundtracks from movies in here?
I don't know why that's funny.
Paul Greengrass directed the ultimatum as well.
This is Del Shannon and the Vikings. The Del Vikings, Come Go With Me. There's so many great songs on this list. It's a double album. It's a compilation album, and it's set in 1962, and it's all songs that Wolfman Jack was spinning back in the radio. It's songs like Johnny Be Good and Ain't That a Shame and Rock Around the Clock,
Johnny
16
Be Good.
Candles, Runaway, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, Surf and Safari, Get a Job, all the great songs you know from several artists like the Big Bopper and the Beach Boys,
Big
and Platter,
Bopper.
And Booker T and the MGs. Yeah, there you go. It's a triple platinum album in the U.S. It peaked at number 10.
Triple
platinum. It's a huge hit. I was not able to uncover this on my research, but I remember hearing somewhere, this was like the first album of its kind, like the first compilation soundtrack album that put together all these hits of this era, or of any era, and put it out as like an album that was really successful. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but certainly very influential if it was among the first to do this.
Yeah. You've seen, I believe it's Easy Rider's Raging Bull. One of the really good documentaries on making of the independent movie makers coming out in like the late 60s, 70s, and they cover American Graffiti. And,
right.
Or maybe it was just the extra that I watched. Some great documentary about American Graffiti. Sorry, I can't cite it right here, right now. But a lot of the things that George Lucas did on that were kind of groundbreaking. And watching the old studio heads who just didn't get it at all, saying, why would you want to have this kind of noise? And they only believe in the old-fashioned
scores.
Yeah,
they were like, George, it's wall-to-wall music. He's like, that's right.
Yeah.
There's always a radio playing. But like that was his thing, though, making American Graffiti. It was like when you're cruising like back then, like in the 60s, there was always a radio
playing. There's always some kind of soundtrack in your head somewhere, which is not the case today. Because people have earbuds, bro.
That's right. People earbuds. Tuned out to the world.
Right now, there's people listening to this with their earbuds. We're inside their canals.
You and me are wearing headphones right now.
Oh,
think about that?
I'm wearing headphone. I refuse
to
wear two.
Oh, you have one? Okay. Well, I have both on. I like to hear my music in stereo.
I want to be able to hear people sneaking up behind me. I am a little concerned.
You're
little
in
word.
The corner of a room. There's no possible way. Unless someone comes in Jason Bourne style from the ceiling, from the skylight.
Jason Bourne. Oh, you know what? I'm so glad you said that. Because I've been meaning for weeks to bitch about the goddamn three-point drop to the ground that you see half a dozen times in the Avengers.
What's the three-point drop to the ground?
Logan, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're a fanboy. When these super fucking goddamn heroes and other people brace themselves
and they fall.
They fall from high, usually something remarkably unbelievable, like a 9-story drop or something, and they land on both, like, one knee, one foot, and their hand, like 3-point stance.
Sure.
And that's going to be fine.
It's a heroic rise.
I'm very, very, very tired of that. That is one of the most over-fucking-used things in all of action movies right now. Am I right?
They have very good knee pads.
It's good stuff.
That added nothing to this entire program. No, but why do they do that? Isn't that a little... It looks cool. I think when I first saw it in The Matrix, I'm like, wow, that was kind of cool.
Right.
I'd like to do that one day. I know I never will, so I got to, live it through Neo.
Sure.
Now everyone's got to do it.
Neo and Morpheus and Trinity.
I think it emphasizes that there's like a shockwave in the ground.
It's not even with the shockwave necessarily, because they do it, their head's down, and then they do that dramatic rise, like head rising up.
Well, it shows more impact, because if they just landed on their feet, you wouldn't have any sense of impact, because their limbs aren't...
Can we agree that they do it way too goddamn much?
Agreed.
All right, I'm going to check my Twitter this week. Can you all agree with me and tell me that you agree with me?
Number two.
Back
for
on Twitter.
You. Number two.
You know what? You know where else there's always music, Brian?
Where's that?
And you should be able to tell me that you also noticed this and recognized it since you just saw it this week.
Okay.
My number two, Brian.
Oh.
Velvet Goldmine.
Say number two?
Velvet Goldmine is one of my all-time favorite soundtracks.
Really?
Obviously, because it's my number two.
Wow.
On my top five favorite
okay.
soundtracks.
You like the original songs.
I fucking loved these songs
okay.
so goddamn much. Most of which I wasn't really familiar with. It was before my time.
Oh, my God. I need this
yeah.
song. The song is not available
this
on iTunes.
This song is great! What are you talking about?
But this is a real song.
Holy shit!
Oh, this is the placebo version.
It's fucking placebo.
I like the T-Rex version.
But this is the version they used in the movie.
I like the T-Rex version.
This is a placebo. I can't sing along. Can't do it. But it's so good. The soundtrack all the way
yeah.
from beginning to end. Very good. A lot of
20th Century Boy.
Just if you like glam rock at all, which I didn't know I did until I saw this movie. A fantastic soundtrack from beginning to end. Baby's on fire. Better throw us in the water.
I'm glad you. You know what? I'm glad you played this song because this is.
I'll tell you where to buy it.
This is far and away the best song on the album.
No, it's one of the best ones.
It's a cover.
Well, yeah, it's a T-Rex cover. Bang a gong, get it on.
That's
I know
right.
all about T-Rex, buddy.
Mark
you know,
Mullen.
Because you know why? I was a big fan of Power Station. Remember Power Station?
The band from the 90s?
Yeah, yeah. Duran Duran, half of Duran Duran, and Robert Palmer.
Okay.
Rest his soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're more the 80s.
Bang a gong, get it on, bang a gong. Anyways. Way off topic. Velvet Goldmine, one of my all-time favorite movies. It's a must in my eyes, even though I know a lot of people have problems with it because of its homosexuality.
And I actually kind of like that part of it.
One of the most condensed movies I've ever seen.
What do you mean?
I was watching just this clip right now on the internet. It's like there's just one thing after another. There's so many goddamn edits, and there's always eye candy, always something going on.
Yes.
Always.
The movie's flashy.
Different scenes, different. There's so many nooks and crannies. Like, he must have shot three or four films in one, you know what I mean? Like, some filmmakers.
The movie's rich with detail.
Rich with detail. Very good one.
I agree with that.
Ryan. Rich with detail. Almost like a Juno film, like one of those French, like Amelie. Very rich.
Like
very
Juno.
Detailed. Not like Juno. Nothing like Juno.
Oh, sorry.
Anyways, Velvet Goldmine, my number two all time. Now, it only gets gayer from here, boys and girls. Oh, and the story that goes with my number one is embarrassing as fuck.
Wow. I'm excited to hear that.
I got caught, Brian.
My number one.
I got caught.
Okay. Is for me.
Is it from the 50s?
Subjectively.
We're going back farther.
No, this is 1964. This is so far and away my number one. I would put it in 1 through 5 if I could. But A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. Why? Oh, yeah, because you heard it.
No, you said it. In the beginning of the... You said Hard Day's Night. What did you say? What was your number five? What
Backbeat.
Originally...
The Beatles...
pretty sure you said Hard Day's Night.
I would be surprised.
Okay.
Anyhow, be that as it may, that's in the past, Anderson. Mm-hmm. What's right now is Hard Day's Night. It's... hold on. I wrote down my thoughts because I had a.
You ever seen Paul McCartney perform live?
No, sadly, I never have. And I don't want to now.
I've seen him perform live a couple times.
He's a little past his prime.
You think?
Well,
you know that he's dead. That's a
I
fake
heard about
Paul McCartney.
That.
You know that?
Yeah, he's been touring for years under fake Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's a fake Paul McCartney. There's a documentary
directed by Richard Lester. This actually doubled as the Beatles' third studio album. It was like a proper album, and it's all original, no covers. All original.
Wait, so
Lennon
the movie soundtrack for Hard Day's Night actually was their third album?
Yep.
They made a movie around their third album?
It was
That's pretty sweet.
It was more or less totally
That's pretty tight.
Seamlessly coincidental. Like, not coincidental, but I mean, like, the soundtrack was its own
coincided
thing.
Coincided with
Yeah, coincided.
The movie.
Thank you. It was all originals, all Lennon McCartney songs, no covers, which is really unusual for the day, especially for sort of a British pop band of the era.
No what?
Except... No cover songs.
Oh, really?
Like
that was the norm back then? Is there
yeah,
always
people would always
one or two
cover
covers?
A Carl Perkins song or a Little Richard song.
Kind of like
something.
Movies these days. There's always cover movies, always
yes.
remix.
It separated them. I'm a Beatle maniac. I love the Beatles. I have every Beatles album. I wrote my high school term paper on the Beatles my senior year. This
really?
Separated
the,
yeah.
I did not know that about you.
I really did. I love the Beatles.
I had no idea.
I know all about them.
Really?
I know all about them.
Who's your favorite?
I'm not sure their names.
No, who's your favorite?
You know what?
Are you going to say George?
No, it's an unpopular answer, but I think Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
For his years with the Beatles, not for his solo stuff, for his years with the
Do
Beatles.
Do you think that's really him?
Well, before he died in a car crash.
Have you seen Paul McCartney's dead?
No, I have not.
You should watch that.
I refuse to.
Very rich film.
Really?
Speaking of rich, yeah. Rich my detail. God, just so many details.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll see it. I consume almost everything related to the Beatles, so I'll probably see that at some point.
Okay.
Anyway, this separated them from their sort of contemporaries who were right on their heels. I mean, the Beatles were a great band, but there were plenty of other good bands right there at this time who were right there neck and neck with them.
Oh, this broke them?
No, it didn't break them. They were broken already.
This
but
broke them ahead?
It put them ahead in terms of artistry. Because they wrote all these great songs themselves, and that wasn't always the norm. People had songwriters, they were doing covers. Like, you were a face. You were a pretty face if you were in a pop band and you were singing songs written by somebody else. And the Beatles totally threw that whole model out the window. We're like, we write our own songs. They didn't say it, but they were artists ahead of their time. And for my money, of the early Beatles albums, this is far and away my favorite, and one of my two or three all-time favorite Beatles albums. And this happens to be a soundtrack. The movie, by the way, is shit.
Really?
It's fucking terrible.
Why is it terrible? Is it worse than the Yellow Submarine?
You know what we're doing next week?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about it off the air.
What are we doing?
We're doing top five classic movies that don't hold up.
I'm not doing that.
We're doing movies that do not hold up.
All right, watch this. Speaking of holding up. This
and
is
by
like
the way, Hard Day's Night will be discussed.
A host who can't hold up his end of the bargain and try and make this like a show like it should be, which is professional.
Okay.
And, you know, what you would be expecting right now is my number one.
Right.
Nope.
Nope.
Just realized that there's some things that I didn't say about Black Dynamite.
Well, this is timely.
So in the beginning of this here episode, I talked about Black Dynamite, and I realized
this is a callback.
Michael J. White, who plays Black Dynamite, was fucking excellent, and I just wanted to say that. And there was a couple very, very funny scenes, such as he walks in and he's in a fight with his Chinese man doing kung fu, and a boomerang comes out of nowhere and hits a Chinese man. Like through the window, right. And Michael J. White, Black Dynamite, says, "Yeah, how do you like that? I threw that shit before I even came in the room." That was some good,
that was good stuff.
And then also, I wanted to say a little bit more about The Dictator. So many cameos, Brian. Like,
don't spoil them.
Chris Elliott, you can't even. It never even really shows his face, but it's him. J.B. Smoove shows up.
Yeah, great.
Chris Elliott had one line.
Yeah, like one line.
And you didn't even know it was him until you know who Chris Elliott is.
Until he was walking away, yeah. And there was nothing Chris Elliott about it. Like, he obviously just wanted to be in the movie. There's a lot of those kinds of things. Anyways, all right.
Number one for you.
My number one, little movie called Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Brian.
Oh, this is a gay film.
It is. Yeah. I love this movie a lot. I went and saw it. Didn't know much. I read a couple of reviews about it and was interested and went and saw James Cameron Michael's... Jesus Christ. Yeah, come on.
Got a grip, buddy.
Here's the song that I don't even want to talk over it because it's so goddamn great, Brian. But when this came, when I saw this in the theater, I immediately walked to a Tower Records right down the street.
Okay.
Was late for work as a result, but demanded that they give me this soundtrack.
Demanded.
Had it in my car.
Handed it over.
I knew it by heart within like 2 or 3 days. Listened to it nonstop. This is all about the origin of man.
Right? Yeah.
This is all about where we come from and how we belong together.
Nice. Who's singing?
It's John Michael Vincent Cameron. You know that I'm bad
with
Jan you.
Michael Vincent?
No.
Oh.
It's John Michael. It's Hedwig. It's Hedwig singing. Oh. It's the closest thing to a show tune that I've ever been in love with. I know that if I let myself, I could be in love with Broadway plays and show tunes. It's catchy musical, lyrical songs.
All right.
And have you seen John Cameron Mitchell's masterpiece that is Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
I have not seen this film.
I love it so much that I've read reviews of his movies that came out since, like Short Bus, and I have not seen them because I don't want them to sully the way I feel about Hedwig. Now, this became somewhat of a cult hit. They tried to do like a Rocky Horror Picture Show thing out here in L.A. right down the street from my house, unfortunately, so I'd see all these fucks dressed up like Hedwig
right.
on Friday nights once a month. Wrapped around the corner,
is
waiting
in
line.
Musician
in
the
yes,
film?
This is Hedwig. He's a man with an angry inch, and that is his penis.
Ah.
His penis is the angry inch, Brian. Botched surgery.
Oh.
But I don't know if you watch Boardwalk Empire.
Nope.
God, I hate you. You really have nothing. It's like handball against the curtains, as Corolla would say.
Handball. This is not TV Vault.
Oh, that's a film every week.
Really?
Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, what am I waiting for?
Anyways, Jimmy from Boardwalk Empire. Michael Pitt, he kind of, this was his first film where he really is recognizable. He plays Tommy Knowles.
Okay.
But anyways, I love this. And then here's a story that goes with it real quick, and then we'll put this thing to bed. My good buddy Mickey, who's my inside source and gives me all sorts of dirt on a lot of Hollywood people. Right now, he's working on a Tom Cruise movie right now in Louisiana. But good buddy of mine. And I was driving my car listening to this exact song. And when I'm driving my car and I'm listening to a song that I like, Brian, I'm on stage.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you're a performer.
Stage one.
You're an artist. You're a performance artist.
Sunroof's back, hand out the fucking roof. I'm in a world of my own. Much to my chagrin, when I look up at the red light and I see Mickey in the alternate lane staring right at me with his mouth agape and a smile across his face, so excited.
He's caught you.
He has caught me. And I still hear about it to this day.
Wow.
Why did it cut out?
It's over.
No. This is like an epic song that goes on for like 7 minutes.
Oh, my God. Well, keep this shit going.
Origin of Love, right? The Origin of Love. Anyway, so either you love it or you don't. Good God. If you love it, though, you love it. Hedvig.
I'd like to have the listeners' top five.
This is a terrible episode.
Number five.
It redeemed itself.
It will redeem itself.
Yeah.
With this nail-biter betting we got going on.
That's good. What are they, horses?
Number five. So is a three-way tie between Dazed and Confused, Trainspotting, and Blues Brothers.
Trainspotting is great, and it has that Born Slippy on there, which is one of the greatest songs ever.
It really is. And Trainspotting, by the way, was my sixth choice. It would have almost been my list.
The other day, actually, it was my birthday. We were on the way to the boat because the girl took me to Catalina, and she had Spotify on. She goes, any song you want to hear? And just out of the blue, I'm like,
Born Slippy.
Haven't heard it in a while.
The thing about Trainspotting soundtrack is, as great as it is and as perfect it is for that movie, I don't think it holds up that great. It's a little, like, you know, very 90s. Whereas these other ones are sort of timeless. That said, great soundtrack for the era.
Number four, Almost Famous.
Yeah, solid. I'm surprised.
My original tunes from Stillwater.
Number three, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Interesting.
Not what I've been...
I like to clear bars out by playing that one song on a loop. People usually leave.
Man of Constant Sorrow?
Yeah.
Nice.
Number two, Drive.
Number two.
I can see that.
It's almost made number one.
It is great. It is very great.
But the number one soundtrack voted by the listeners is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It is great.
You know what? And that's a great soundtrack in the sense that it has the excerpt. Same with Reservoir Dogs. You actually hear
the vocal. Yeah, the dialogue.
From the movie. Same with all my also-rans, Natural Born Killers, almost made the list because they have a bunch of great sound drops and actual scenes, mini scenes from the movie in between the tracks, which really bring the movie to life.
Yeah.
Same with the Muppets soundtrack.
Yeah.
On my also rants, Brian, I also had Drive on there. Almost put it on. Almost made it, but Dark Knight beat it out. And The Raid, movie that I've been going on and on about.
Oh, the recent film.
Yeah, Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park, which I'm not a huge fan of Linkin Park by any means, but he did the American soundtrack. Very interesting. Much different soundtrack than what was released in the rest of the world.
Interesting.
He did the American release soundtrack, and I swear to God, without that soundtrack, I don't like The Raid nearly as much.
Interesting.
Fucking great soundtrack.
Boogie Nights must be mentioned for my money, as must... I have a soft spot for Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy. There's some very funny songs on there. I don't think humorous soundtracks get mentioned enough. Obviously, this is the first time in this episode they have. And also, is it a soundtrack? Isn't it? Let It Be.
Let it be. John Carpenter's, he also does his own soundtracks, I should mention. And many of his very simple melodic soundtracks.
We'll do top five scores at some point, and it'll be great.
All right.
Also, my top five, if you got confused at one point, Backbeat, number five. My gimmick of going backwards through time didn't really pan out. Mm-hmm. The Big Chill from 1983. The Blues Brothers from 1980 is fantastic. All great blues songs with that all-star band. American Graffiti from 73. And Hard Day's Night from 1964.
And I went heavy score with Dark Knight. And the Ransom with Billy Corgan doing his torture music with Ransom. I really do enjoy all those tracks. I think there's five or six of them. Fucking really good, dark, evil music. Run, Lola, Run, the Tom Tykwer score for his own movie. And then I got exceptionally glammy and with the Velvet Goldmine, which I've listened to that album almost as many times as License to Ill, Brian.
Wow.
Right up there with that. But Angry Inch probably beat it out. Also, you know what? Not really a soundtrack available, but Harold and Maude, all Cat Stevens, all great, all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Logan, we got a gambler, right?
Yes, we do.
So what happened?
So last week...
You've been teasing this shit.
You placed your bets on what is considered to be a multi-billion dollar flop. That is Battleship.
Oh, that's right.
Banned that movie. We'll never see.
At the time...
You may have to see it.
Or Anderson bet 42%. Brian bet 29.
I should have gone 33.
And Anderson nailed it with 42 at the time.
It felt so good.
However, I have been closely monitoring the progress of this Rotten Tomato score.
I've seen
it slowly drop percent by percent. Mm-hmm. And it had to get down to 35% for Brian to take it this week.
Uh-huh.
So now...
Take it, he will.
the Wednesday after release.
Last I saw was 36, Brian. Last I saw was 36. Let's see what Logan's got.
The Rotten Tomatoes score is 35%.
Yeah!
Fuck you!
By no! 1 point!
Damn it! Oh, 36 this morning! Are you fucking with
it
me?
Was. I was watching it.
It was
this
36
morning.
This morning.
36 would have been a tie, though, right? Because we both had...
No, because it was an odd number.
Oh.
It was an odd number. So you are 6% away from the current score.
Wow.
And here's a dirty little secret. I watched 5 minutes of it today because I left the theater. And I'm like, let's see. I watched a man with no legs talk wholeheartedly and heartfeltly to a pretty blonde physical therapist in Hawaii. And nice. And he was talking about how his dog got hit by a dump truck. And I'm like,
Anderson,
I've seen enough.
I got good news for you.
God damn it!
I got great news for
Brian,
you.
Brian, you were going to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch. It would be great for you. It would be so cool for you.
I already have my movie picked out.
Please tell me Bourne Supremacy or something.
Nope.
Please tell
me
more Bourne movies.
I was inspired,
movies.
And I already picked out, and it's good.
What? 35? This morning it was 36, right?
It was. It was at 36 this morning, and I checked it when
you
I got
to Rotten Tomatoes. I haven't been to Rotten Tomatoes in months.
Tomatoes.
Oh, man, are you cheating?
What?
Oh,
no,
yeah, he could have looked, just scrolled down a little bit.
I look at Rotten Tomatoes all the time at movies that are out now. That's how I find where I'm going to go see my movies. But I never, ever look ahead. However, I did today by mistake. I was going to admit that.
So, which movie did you look at?
Because I can't even remember what it was.
There's three big movies coming out this weekend.
I don't know. The biggest one, I think it was
Men in Black?
Yeah. I saw that.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, well, I'll pick a different one then.
I can't even remember what
I got to sign you a film.
Actually, I can give you a total wild card that you will not know what the Rotten Tomatoes score is because it hasn't even
come
out yet.
It doesn't have a score. Yeah, I saw that.
So let's see.
He's going to assign me a film.
You got to see a good film.
God damn it.
With a great soundtrack. Backbeat. You're going to see Backbeat and you're going
to
rock
your
ass off.
Wait, doesn't Oasis have something to do with this movie?
No.
What am I thinking?
What
is the Oasis movie?
There's a documentary called Live Forever, which is fucking fantastic.
Backbeat. Something to do with Oasis.
No. They do a song called Wonderwall. I say Backbeat, the word is on the street.
Oh, that's why.
That's a lyric
Backbeat,
from the song.
Backbeat, the word is on the street.
Yeah. That's a lyric from the song.
That's exactly what
okay.
it is.
Okay. Nothing to do with Oasis. In fact, 2 years before. No, it was the year they came out.
Well, here's some good news for you. It's tough to watch movies with a lady because she's very discerning of what
I think she'll
likes.
Like this because this is actually more.
She's a huge Beatles fan, so it'll be fine. Well, I'm sure she's already seen it.
Great music.
Hey, Brian, you.
This is my number 5 soundtrack of all time.
Is it available, readily available? Because I can't go to Blockbuster anymore. I had to go to Blockbuster to get Bourne Identity.
You can mail away for it.
I had to go to Blockbuster.
You may be able to stream it on Amazon.
It was embarrassing
because
they're like, would you like to be a member? It's $14 a month. I'm like, no, thanks. And they kept pushing. I'm like, dude, look, I'm with FuckFlex, all right? I don't want to be with FuckBuster. And they're like, we're much better than FuckFlex. They didn't say that. They said right. Netflix. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
They were for a little while.
Better?
Because what you could do is you could take your mail-in envelopes from Blockbuster and trade them in for movies at the store. So you didn't have to wait for the next movie to come in the mail.
But the store has like 600 different titles. Netflix has 40,000.
Sure.
Please.
Backbeat.
You know, he's like, Netflix movies are all old and dusty. I'm like, and I look around. And the store is
there's
like crumbling. It's imploding from. There's an old woman in the corner eating candy.
Black hole forming in the action and adventure category.
Like, are you kidding me? Oh, it was sad.
All right, what's next, Logan?
Okay, well, I was going to have you guys bet on Men in Black 3 because that was going to be the big release this weekend, but Anderson
64
cheated.
64 or something.
It's at 67,
mistake.
So let's not.
By mistake, I looked at it. I'm like, shit.
Also coming out this weekend. I was going to actually just have you do Chernobyl Diary since there's no Rotten Tomatoes score, but no one's going to see that and no one wants to hear you guys talk about it. So.
I might go see it, actually. Kind of
so, Chernobyl Diaries and the movie you guys will bet on the Rotten Tomatoes score is the new Wes Anderson movie, mm-hmm. Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I already got mine.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, is that?
You already said no.
No,
no
is that
one
the one
talk
with the
about
camp?
It. It's terrible.
The camp with Edward Norton and Bill Murray.
I got to really think about this because I saw one trailer for it and it looked fucking Wes Anderson awful.
It does look like his worst type of his movie.
What the cuss?
Right. This is confusing because some critics are going to love it just because of Wes Anderson.
How did I lose last week when I hit it right on the nose? It's like getting a hole in one and somehow losing that
like
hole.
Last week
I hit 42.
It's not like hole in one. It's like bouncing it off the flag in the pin.
And then somehow you still beat me.
Yep.
Fucker. Yep.
Got your numbers?
No. The critics are going to love this. Are they tired of...
All right, dude, come on.
Are they tired of Wes Anderson yet? Of Wes Anderson
No, yet? The critics don't listen to us. They're afraid of us because we tell the truth.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I got a number.
My number is a great number, Brian, in sports history.
Yep.
because it's the year that the Pittsburgh Pirates, Pittsburgh Steelers both won championships in 1979.
Oh, wow. 1979. I went 59.
Ooh.
And there's no number yet?
No number. Well, that kind of
no, there wasn't one. There wasn't one on Chernobyl Diaries.
Oh, okay.
But currently,
oh,
there is one on this. The Wednesday before release.
I don't know what to make of this.
Certified fresh already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling with good. A Rotten Tomatoes score of 98%.
Wow! Critics, don't let me down.
I did not know what to make of this film.
79 was conservative. I was one even higher.
I wish we had done Men in Black 3.
Oh, I can't wait for you to watch Tommy Gnosis get beat off by Hedwig next week. in the bathtub. Hedwig is babysitting Tommy Gnosis, and he beats him off in the bathtub. Oh, it's uncomfortable.
It'll have to wait.
Can you watch it with your mom if I really win? Like, if I win 3 in a row, can I make him watch a movie with his mom?
No, you cannot make him
or
do
at
that.
Least your wife?
Your wife.
No, you cannot make
and
me
you
do
got
that.
A video? You got a train and put a tripod? I want to watch a reaction of you watching, like, Irreversible.
Shots?
Yeah.
Hey, coming up soon, we're gonna announce our next Sniff Tracks.
Yeah, if we ever figure one out, all we do is argue about them.
No, we got one. I think we got a good one. We'll announce them next week or two. Until then, thank you for tuning in.
Also, Brian is demanding that some part of this program that you just listen to be cut out. I hope that you hear it in its entirety because...
I'm only looking out for the listener experience, Anderson. I don't stand to lose anything.
Well, I thought it was the racist comment you made. You were talking about the music?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think? Okay. We'll talk about it off here. Thank you, Ramona, feature artist from Toronto, Canada.
Ramona sounds like a dude.
Ramon A.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ramon A. Check out AndersonandBrian.com. There's where you can find links to Ramona. And a list of our films discussed is right there under honorable mentions. Comment on all of our episodes. Check out the artwork from last week. It's very, very funny if you didn't have a chance to check it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Links to all of our sponsors. The Amazon banner is right there on the homepage. Yeah, all that good. Ooh, hiccups.
Oh, God.
All right. All that good stuff.
You know what? I fuck this. We're doing it for Rango!